6 Bhakti Shastra, which is the shastras that specifically delineate topics of bhakti. 7 is tattva, and 8 is rasa. And then another, this was the Bhakti Shastra course, and then the other course was the Sampradaya Vaibhavacharya. And the purpose of this course was to spread knowledge of Paravidya by removing obstacles of Aparavidya. So that's to discover genuinely competent teachers of Bhakti Shastra. And so they should, and that they would also offer the course. And then also another course was Pancharatra. And this was the Gaudiya deity worship rituals and procedures. And then successful students from this course were designated as Pancharatra Acharya. And they were authorized to perform marriages, shraddhas, and other ceremonies, you know, ceremonies for Gaudiyas, Gaudiya Vaishnavas. And then this is another lecture that he did. This is from that same lecture. He said, I endeavor to found an institution for imparting comparative analysis of ancient and spiritual manuscripts, scriptures, philosophy, and science. Yet most students become satisfied simply upon learning a few rules of Sanskrit grammar, or by gaining competence to study ordinary dramas, or being awarded the title for aptitude in Sanskrit, and consider such the ultimate limit or supreme goal of life. But it was not for that reason that I established the school. My wish has remained unfulfilled. Moreover, the majority of people cannot even conceive of such a purpose. Such is the condition of the country. I made an attempt to systematically teach Shastra as Sri Chaitanya Math with the intention of attracting students by imparting mundane education and gradually introducing Shastriya topics. However, because of the students' strong preference for economically lucrative knowledge, Shastra was not taught. So that was, he was dissatisfied with that. But even his disciples and students that were not academically, you know, inclined, he said that minimally they are required to imbibe the Dasa Mula, which was the 10 basic points of Vaishnava philosophy, according to Lord Chaitanya. And this was found in Bhakti Thakur's teachings regarding this. And so the first is that Pramana, that's the authoritative source of knowledge, is the Shastra and the disciplical succession of Acharyas, and then subsequently the 9 Pramayas. So these are the 10 things that everyone should know. So that was the Pramana, the authoritative knowledge, and then the Pramayas, the elementary truths, which are approved by the authorities. So these are the, these are given by Srila Baladeva Vidyabhusana in his Prameya Ratnavali, and it's based on the teachings of Madhvacharya. So these are the other, these are the 10. So we mentioned the first one, which is the statements of Amnaya, is the evidence of proof of all the statements and topics are taught. And then the second is Krishna is the supreme absolute truth. Third is Krishna is naturally replete with all energies. 4, Krishna is the ocean of rasa. 5, the jivas are separated parts of the Lord. 6, the jivas in the bound state are under the influence of matter. 7, jivas in the liberated state are free from the influence of matter. Everything is different from and identical to the Lord. The jivas, that's the 8th one. 9th is the jivas' means of elevation is to practice the precepts of pure devotion as ordained by Amnaya Vani. And 10, pure love of Krishna is the ultimate goal. So that's the educational standards he was teaching. So it's described that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur often cited the famous prayer by Srila Madhavendra Puri. Okay, but there's images also on the screen. Thank you. All right, just to let you know. Okay, so there's a famous prayer by Srila Madhavendra Puri, which was spoken in ecstatic mood of separation from Krishna. And that's when Krishna was afflicted by, you know, separation from Radharani. So this prayer is highly regarded by the Gaudiyas as encapsulating the essence of topmost prema, and it's therefore the heart of the Gaudiya ontology. So, and then it's described in the Madhya Lila. There's verses 4, 196, 187. It says, Madhavendra Puri recited this verse again and again at the end of his material existence. Thus uttering this verse, he attained the ultimate goal of life. And what's the verse? Let's chant it together. There's the verses on the board there. Aidina dayatra natahe matura natta kadavalakyase ridiyam twara loka kataram daita brahmyatem kim karomi aham. This is a translation. O my Lord, O merciful Master, O Master Mathura, when shall I see you again? Because of my not seeing you, my agitated heart has become unsteady. O most beloved one, what shall I do now? So Prabhupada gives a nice purport there that this is worship and separation. And again, he says that this is considered by the Gaudiya Madhava Sampradaya to be the topmost level of devotional service. So it's nice. This is described there. So again, commenting on this, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati stated, he said here, Srila Madhavendra Puri sang this mula mantra, the key to that prema, which is the only object of pursuit, the only prayojana of the deserving soul. He gave this gift in India. We do not know if he gave it anywhere beyond India. Any resident of India who has heard this mantra, which is the root of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's gift of Krishna prema, has attained the perfection of all goals of life. Those who have not heard it are bound in petty matters. Those who have not understood the necessity of this mula mantra have wasted their human form. To sing this Sangha Vipralamba is the dharma of the uncontaminated soul, our innate propensity. And this is what he says here. Even though we consider ourselves residents of Goda Desh, we're even now absorbed in endeavors for sense gratification. Such poverty is inexpressible in human language. For release therefrom, Sri Madhavendra Puri sang this cant of Vipralamba. So this is probably the most quoted verse. Actually, another verse which he says is probably the most quoted in his childhood. And he saw this every day hanging on the wall in the Bhakti Bhajan. And which is, he vowed to proclaim this until the end of his breath. So this is the verse. It's from the 11th canto. So this is what probably the most quoted verse by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So you want to chant this one together? Labdasudur labam idam bahu sambhavante manusham artadam anityam api dirata turnam yatet napatet anumrityavan suisasaya visay kudra. Jai, good. Translation. After many, many births and deaths, one achieves the rare human form of life, which, although temporary, affords one the opportunity to attain the highest perfection. Thus, a sober human being should quickly endeavor for the ultimate perfection of life, as long as his body, which is always subject to death, has not fallen down and died. After all, sense gratification is available even in the most abominable species of life, whereas Krishna consciousness is possible only for the human being. So in that purport, it describes how material life essentially means repeated birth and death. And even in lowest forms of life, you mentioned all the different forms of life, they have ample opportunity for sense gratification. Even ordinary house flies so many things are there's just so much available to them. But actually, human life enables one to understand the absolute truth. So this is a really important verse that Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta Sarasvati Thakura really much liked. And Prabhupada, I mean not Prabhupada, but the devotees of the followers of Śrīla Prabhupada in the purport there explained, one can experience Krishna consciousness in the association of devotees of the Lord. Without their association, one is in danger of being attracted to an impersonal conception of life, which causes one to fall away from devotional service to the absolute truth. Or being discouraged by one's failure to understand the absolute truth, one may return to the false platform of sense gratification. In conclusion, human life is meant for cultivating Krishna consciousness under the guidance of the experienced, self-realized devotees of the Lord. And all these self-realized, experienced devotees of the Lord have come, have appeared in this world to give us, you know, their association, like Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta Sarasvati Thakura. So, upon the Babaji Maharaj's disappearance, Śrīla Siddhānta Sarasvati inwardly bemoaned. And here he talks about the importance of association. This is what he said. Now, who will chastise me to make me understand the truth as it is? Having seen many disturbances arise in the Vaishnava community following the Tiru Bhava of Śrīla Bhaktivinoda Thakura just 16 months before, so his father, Bhaktivinoda Thakura, just passed away also, and now his spiritual master passed away. So he was feeling disappointed, hopeless, and he was keenly suffering the absence of his two muses. So Sri Siddhanta Sarasvati resolved to keep to himself and desist from speaking Harikatha to others. Although he had commented on the 8 of the 11 verses Anuvritti, and that's Bhaktivinoda Thakura gave him this to write. And this is from the Śrīla Rūpa Gosvāmī Upadeśamrita. He was supposed to write elaborations on this particular book. So he was composing that on the order of Bhaktivinoda Thakura. And he ceased working on it. And this is what he says also. To whom will I show my articles and books? Who will take pleasure in my writings and encourage me to continue? Who will take pleasure in hearing about the preaching work and the increasing splendor of the drama of our service to it? So just see such a great soul, and still he's begging for association. You know, who's going to encourage me? You know, who's going to appreciate me? So we all need this, even the great soul. So he's begging for this. So what happened is he practically foregoed food and sleep. He remained engaged in intense bhavana while wrestling with this dilemma. His heart reverberated with Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura's order that he not renounce service to Mahaprabhu. And seeing the mass of people spoiling their life, simply taking birth and then dying without information of our interest in the incomparable boons offered by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sri Siddhanta Sarasvati was unceasingly contemplating the need to preach. Yet having experienced the kind of malicious opposition he would have to face for speaking the truth, he was reluctant to return to public life. Then one day, a gust of wind blew before him an extract from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, wherein Lord Chaitanya instructed Sanatana Goswami to compose transcendental literature, renovate forgotten holy places, institute service to Lord Krishna, and propagate bhakti ras. Taking this as a divine indication, but feeling depressed and incapable, Sri Siddhanta Sarasvati pondered, I have no public support, nor wealth, learning, or the intelligence required to awaken interest in the populace. How can I convey to the inhospitable world the pure teachings of Sri Chaitanya and establish the manobhishta of my gurus? So just shortly after that, here's a nice drawing of a dream he had. He was at the yoga pit, and in a dreamlike revelation, he saw approaching him from the east the Panchatattva, the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, Srila Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj, and numerous other great devotees of Lord Chaitanya. And this is what they told him in his dream. Sarasvati, why are you worrying? Begin the task of establishing Sudha Bhakti. Distribute Gauravani universally. Expand the service of Gauranam, Gauradham, and Gaurakam. So that's the name, the abode, and the desire of Lord Chaitanya. With unbleaching enthusiasm, broadcast Bhakti Siddhanta. We are eternally with you, ready to help. The support of unlimited people, immeasurable opulence, and boundless scholarship awaits the blessing to serve your mission. All will manifest when required. Come forward with full strength to distribute the message of Mahaprabhu's Prema Dharma throughout the globe. No worldly hindrance or menace will be able to obstruct this undertaking of yours. We are forever with you. So the next morning, a few of his young disciples, they gathered around him and they saw for the first time in many days, his face was refulgent with happiness. And he related to them the dream that he saw. And then before long, he resumed his work on the Anuritta. And thenceforward, his avidity for preaching was fully rekindled and unretractable. So after this vision, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati understood that it was time for him to fulfill the mission of his life. This dream was very similar to Srila Prabhupada. When Prabhupada was on the Jaladutta at the age of 70, crossing the Atlantic Ocean on a cargo ship going to America, he had no support, he had no contacts, he had nothing, no money. He was in the same situation as Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. He just had 2 to 3 heart attacks, and he had the same type of vision where Krishna, with all the incarnations, were on the boat, and they told him, "We will bring you across the Atlantic. We will always be with you to fulfill your mission." Just see how there's almost always so much support for the devotees who are in this preaching mentality. So this is when we know Srila Prabhupada met Bhaktisiddhanta. And Prabhupada didn't want to go. He told his friend, Narendra, "I don't care to see sadhus. I've seen so many sadhus." No, but this one's different. So this Narendra friend of his actually pulled him. Prabhupada was born in a Vaishnava family. So, he saw many sadhus and he went along to hear a sadhu. So this is at the roof of the Uttadanga Junction Road. And this is when he saw Saraswati sitting there with his back erect, speaking from Chaitanya Charitamrita. And Srila Prabhupada offered his obeisances. And just as he was getting up, he heard a thunderous but sweet, merciful voice of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. He told him, "You are an intelligent young man. You should take these teachings of Lord Chaitanya and spread them throughout the world in the English language." And Srila Prabhupada is very astonished. "I've not even introduced myself and he's given me a lifelong mission." He began to argue. And this is what he told him. He said, because he was a Gandhian follower at that time. And he said, "Swamiji, we're an independent nation. Who will listen to us? The need of the time is independence from British. After we become independent from the British and get out from their thumb, then we will have credibility and dignity. Then the luxuries of preaching Harikatha could be." And then Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explained, "All these politics are temporary. The only real problem in this world is a lack of Krishna consciousness. And the only solution is Krishna consciousness. It is the eternal Dharma and it is the eternal necessity. It cannot wait for any change in politics, any change in any situation. It must be now. There's only one truth, and the truth is the only solution to the problems and the sufferings of the world. That truth is devotion to Krishna. So when Prabhupada heard this, he was like convinced, you know, and he accepted him actually in his heart at that time, that yes, this is my spiritual master. So Srila Prabhupada actually mentions there's a nice Vyasa Puja offering he gave in London in 1973. And he was telling the devotees that your duty, you know, everyone has got this duty in Krishna consciousness, is to preach. And so he said here, anyone who is coming to Krishna consciousness, he's not ordinary living being. Anyone who's connected with our movement, he's not ordinary living being. Actually, he's liberated soul. And I'm very much hopeful that my disciples are now participating today. Even if I die, my movement will not stop. I'm very much hopeful. Yes, all these nice boys and girls who have taken so seriously. Bhaktivinoda Thakura wondered that European and American people may understand the philosophy of Chaitanya cult and take part in it. That was his desire. My Guru Maharaj, His Divine Grace Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Prabhupada, he also attempted to send his disciples to preach Chaitanya cult in the Western world. One of them, he advised me also. First meeting, perhaps you know, he asked me to preach. So at that time, I was a young man, only 25 years old, and I was also a householder. So I should have joined and executed his desire immediately. But due to my ill luck, I could not immediately execute his order. But it was in my heart that it is to be done. So better later than never. So at the age of 70 years old, he came and spread this all over the world. And Prabhupada mentions here, so anyway, although I began very late at the age of 70 years, so by the help of my disciples, this movement is gaining ground and is spreading all over the world. So therefore I have to thank you. It is due to you. It is not my credit, but it is your credit that you're helping me in executing the order of my Guru Maharaj. So this is when he took initiation. Many devotees had, they had actually, were hoping that Srila Prabhupada would take initiation at this time. This was in Allahabad, Gaudiya Math. And this Atulananda Brahmachari, he took the opportunity to recommend different devotees, and Srila Prabhupada was one of them. He was Mr. Day at that time. And they were surprised when Bhaktisiddhanta recognized him, and he was pleased to see him. And he said, yes, he likes to hear. He does not go away. I have marked him. I will accept him as my disciple. So this is nice. So this is when he agreed to take him as his disciple. So this is very nicely described in the Lilamrita. And this is where he was at the Radhakund, and Prabhupada mentions in 1933 when he was in Radhakund, I was at that time Bombay in connection with my business life. So I came to see him, and one friend wanted to give some land in Bombay for starting Bombay Gaudiya Math. He's my friend. So that's a long story. But I wish to narrate this. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami's mission. So at that time, one of my godbrothers was also present. He reminded me about my friend's donation, and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada immediately took up the land. He continued that there is no need of establishing many temples. Better we publish some books. He said like that. He said that we started this Gaudiya Math at Ultaganga. The rent was very small, and if we could gather 2 to 250 rupees, it was very nice going on. But since this J.V. Datta, he has given us this stone, marble stone. Thakura Bari, our competition between the disciples have increased. So I don't like anymore. Rather, I would prefer to take out the marble stone and sell it and publish some books. So Prabhupada's continuing. So I took that point, and he especially advised me that if you get money, you try to publish books. So by His blessings, it has become our very successful by your cooperation. Now our books are being sold all over the world and is very satisfactory sale. So on this particular day of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's advent, try to remember his words that he wanted that many books should be published about our philosophy and it should be given to the English knowing public especially, because English language is now world language. We are touring all over the world, so everywhere we speak English, it is understood, except in some places. So on this day particular, on the advent of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, I'd especially request my disciples who are cooperating with me that try to publish books as many as possible and distribute throughout the whole world. That will satisfy Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as well as Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So Prabhupada says throughout the Bhagavatam, many places throughout his books, this pastime, that we should preach and distribute books and the movement will become successful. So here's a purport of another nice verse given by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. We could say it together. Dustamana tumiksara vaishnava pratisthara tare nirjanera gara taviharanama kevala kaitava. My dear mind, what kind of devotee are you? Simply for cheap adoration, you sit in a solitary place and pretend to chant the Hare Krishna mantra. But this is all cheating. So Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur advocated that every devotee, under the guidance of an expert spiritual master, should preach the cult, this bhakti cult of Krishna consciousness all over the world. Only when one is mature can you sit down in a solitary place and retire from preaching all over the world. So Prabhupada says, following this example, the devotees of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness now render service as preachers in various parts of the world. Now they can allow the spiritual master to retire from active preaching work. In the last stage of the spiritual master's life, the devotees of the spiritual master should take preaching activities into their own hands. In this way, the spiritual master can sit down in a solitary place and render nirjana bhajana. So there's a nice poem that was given by Srila Prabhupada on the 62nd birthday of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. And this was in Jagannath Puri. The devotees were residing there and they were observing that day. So it was a small Bombay center and they planned the event. And at that time, Abai wrote a poem. And this is the nice poem. Adore, adore ye all, the happy day, blessed than heaven, sweeter than May. When he appeared at Puri, the holy place, my Lord and Master, his divine grace. O my Master, the evangelic angel, give us thy light, light up thy candle, struggle for existence, a human race, the only hope, his divine grace. Misled we are, all go astray, save us, Lord, our fervent pray. Wander thy ways to turn our face. Adore thy feet, your divine grace. Forgotten Krishna. Oh, sorry. Hit the wrong thing here. Forgotten Krishna, we fallen souls, praying most heavy, the illusions toll. Darkness around, all untrace, the only hope, his divine grace. Message of service thou hast brought, a healthful life as Chaitanya wrought, unknown to all, it's full of grace. That's your gift, your divine grace. This is the one that Bhaktisiddhanta liked, this part. Absolute is sentient thou hast proved, impersonal calamity thou hast moved. This gives us life, anew and fresh. Worship thy feet, your divine grace. Had you not come, who had told the message of Krishna, forceful and bold. That's your right, you have the mace. Save me a fallen, your divine grace. The line of service, as drawn by you, is pleasing and healthy, like morning dew. The oldest of all, but in new dress, miracle done, your divine grace. Abhay Charan Das. So did you know that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he chanted 1 billion names of Krishna. And that was in 1905. He took a vow to chant 1 billion names of Krishna. And the way he decided to do this was to chant 3 lakhs every day. That means he followed the footsteps of Srila Haridas Thakur. And he was chanting a minimum of 192 rounds of the Hare Krishna mantra every day. He was residing at the Yoga Pit at that time. That's the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya. And for 4 continuous years, he was chanting like that. Okay, huh? Yeah, 9 years. Well, for 4 years, I'm not finished. But he continued to chant like that. But then someone gave him some land and a place, a house of a Chandrasekhar Acharya. And that's called the Vrajapatna. And then he moved there to the bank, near the bank of the Ganges. And that's where he was living in a little hut. So then for 9 years, he remained in Mayapur chanting 192 rounds. And that's his vow to get to 1 billion names. It's amazing, huh? And at that time, he also followed the Chaturmas. He would sleep on the ground with nothing between him and the ground, no pillow. And he would cook a little rice and dal, and like khichdi, and every day with his own hands, and he would eat like a cow. He would put it on the ground, no plate, nothing there, and then he'd put his hands behind his back, and he'd bow down, and put his head down on the ground, and whatever he could eat before taking up air, and sit up, then he would stop. And he did that. So he would, because he would finish. So then he did that for 9 years. And sometimes it was raining in the monsoon season in Mayapur. And there were floods during the monsoons. And then the roof would leak. And then he would just sit under an umbrella. And he would just chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And this is what Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj says. Interesting about what he says about, you know, that even though I am taking the position of a guru, this is his opinion of himself, taking up a guru. He says, if I am to carry out the command of the Vaishnava guru, I have to be arrogant or brutish or suffer eternal perdition. I am prepared to welcome such eternal damnation and even sign a contract to that effect. I will not listen to the words of malicious persons in lieu of the command of Sri Guru Dev. I will dissipate with indomitable courage and conviction the currents of thought of the rest of the world, relying on the strength derived from the lotus feet of Sri Guru Dev. I confess this arrogance. So, you know, if it's to carry out the command of a Vaishnava and be arrogant, becoming a guru, then I'll do that. This is the last photo taken of Srila Saraswati Thakur. This is from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhava. That's Bhakti Vikasa's book. 3 huge volumes he wrote on Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. And while Prabhupada was in Bombay, it was in 1936, Srila Prabhupada wrote a letter to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati because at that time, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was very ill. And it appeared quite obvious that, you know, Krishna is soon going to call him back to the spiritual world. So this is what Prabhupada wrote to him and said, you have many disciples who are sannyasis and brahmacharis who are just 24 hours a day with you and serving you. But I'm a grihastha with so many other responsibilities. Please instruct me, how can I serve you? And then Srila Prabhupada received a letter back from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati from Jagannath Puri. And he repeated the same instructions he gave him in 1922 in their first meeting. And he said, please take this message of Lord Chaitanya, the pure message of love of Godhead, and spread it throughout the world in the English language. This will be to your great benefit and to the greatest benefit of all you touch. And then it was just a couple weeks after that Bhaktisiddhanta had his closing pastimes. And he went back to the spiritual world. So that was in Bagh Bazar Temple in Calcutta. And there were devotees from from all around were having beautiful kirtan around him. And on the morning of December 31st, 1936, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati asked one of his disciples, Srila Bhakti Rakshasa Sridhar Maharaj, to sing for him the beautiful song of Narottama Das Thakur, Shirupa Manjari Pala. Actually, at the end, I have a video which he's talking, this Bhakti Rakshasa Sridhar Maharaj actually sings this song. He's remembering this pastime. So this is, again, as we were mentioning there with the great saints, how they sing these songs of separation in their last days. You know, and so in the same way, he wanted this song to be sung. This is Sri Rupa Manjari Pada. So then he asked another devotee to sing the Shikshastakam prayers, and then he asked them to cooperate, you know, and then told them to divide the management under the authority of the GBC. And then, you know, so then he tried to send this all throughout the world. So this is what Bhaktisiddhanta did what no one else had ever done. He planted the seed in Srila Prabhupada's heart, and that seed would ultimately come and bring fruits to all of our lives. And it was on that day, December 31st, 1936, according to the Vedic calendar, it corresponds today. And this is where we come together and we discuss his pastimes. So the disappearance of an acharya is celebrated by us not only today, but every day, by being the servant of the servant of the servants of the servants. And so we heard this beautiful talk, beautiful writings that I got from different scriptures and Prabhupada's words about Srila Bhaktisiddhanta and Srila Prabhupada. And there's a lecture, actually. Prabhupada was crying and weeping, thanking actually his devotees, his disciples, for helping him, assisting him in the mission of his Guru Maharaj. So he was so helpful. He was so grateful. And so we can't ever calculate the fortune that we have. And anybody who helps this movement, we should know that Srila Prabhupada is grateful, is weeping in gratefulness to each of you for kindly assisting him in his wonderful mission and performing this great compassionate work for spreading Krishna consciousness and the holy names all over the world. So that's Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram, Hare Hare. So anyway, this is in Mayapur. And there was this book that I got also mentions this. We talked about the association of devotees and the importance of it. So, and then we'll get to the video after this. So this was when they were in Ritu Dweep in Srinavadweep. And he said, people may ask, what's the need to visit different holy places? If one can sit at home and serve Hari, what's the need to go anywhere? So this is what Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj says. If we sit at home, we cannot meet the devotees. We will not get the opportunity to hear from them. When we have no work, we indulge in sinful activities, including gossiping and blaspheming others. And in these ways, we waste our time. However, if we associate with devotees, we can hear Hari Katha and be relieved of the sinful activities we commit due to our misconceptions. If we hear about Lord Hari from the devotees, we can get respite from the troubles we face caused by our fixation on what we learn through our mundane senses. The transcendental object can appear in this mature world out of his own sweet will. He descends into the mature world, but being in the mature world does not inhibit his transcendental position. Whatever a lump of matter like me speaks is born of material qualities. But whatever we hear through the disciplic succession, that sound has such extraordinary power that when it enters the ears, it can revive our consciousness. The soul vibration that can cross the Viraja River transcends Brahmaloka and travels to Vaikuntha, descends into the 14 worlds, and takes us back to the spiritual world. However, the sound vibration produced from the material sky, which remains for some time in the material world, and then merges back into the material sky, takes us to hell. These material sounds have been disseminated for our sense gratification and to make us foolish. We can tell a sound is material when its object is to encourage us to eat, sleep, mate, and defend. Such sound conditions us more and more in matter. Chaitanya Chandra appeared in a place near here where they were in order to propagate the sound vibration coming from the spiritual sky. So this is Srila Prabhupada. In answer to Srila Bhakti Thakur's prayer, a great acharya, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, appeared, and it was on his order, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's order, that our own beloved Guru Maharaj, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, has spread the messages of Lord Chaitanya throughout the entire world. It was based on Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's order. So that's why we're all here today. We're relieved from the cheating of material existence. We happily come together and we chant the glories of the Hare Krishna mantra. So there's an initiation Srila Prabhupada gave. And Prabhupada mentions during that initiation, this was in Montreal in 1968. He said, I met my spiritual master late, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami, in 1922. And he desired me to preach in the foreign countries the spiritual movement started by Lord Chaitanya for enlightenment of all materialistic men all over the world. He gradually turned my mind from matter to spirit, and I was accepted as his disciple in 1933. After full association of 10 years, he left this world in 1936 and insisted to explain the mission in English. I started my paper Back to Godhead in 1944, and left home for good entirely to execute the order of my spiritual master in 1954. Auspicious day, because all arrangement of His Divine Grace, Om Vishnupad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Prabhupada, and then Prabhupada's voice chokes up, my beloved spiritual master, he is seen. He had a great desire to preach Lord Chaitanya's message in the Western world, and I'm sure he will be pleased to see so many young boys and girls are seriously engaged in preaching the gospel of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That is my success. So, this is the video I'm going to show now. And this is when, as I mentioned, one of his disciples, before he passed away, a few days before, asked him to sing this song, this Sri Rupa Manjari Pada. It's only four verses, but I'd like to just say that song, the translations, real quick. The lotus feet of Sri Rupa Manjari are my real wealth. They are the object of my devotional service and worship. They are the treasure of my heart, and they are my ornaments and my life and the life of my life. So that's the song, Sri Rupa Manjari Pada Se Mora Sampada. For me, they are the reservoirs of all rasa and the conclusion of the religion of the Vedas. They are the fulfillment of my desires and the goal of all my vows, my austerities, my religious activities, and the chanting of my mantra. By the power of those lotus feet, my activities will become favorable to devotion. I will achieve spiritual perfection, and with these two eyes, I shall be able to actually see, both day and night, the flood of exquisite beauty of Sri Rupa Manjari's divine lotus feet will shine like a brilliant moon. Full moon upon the lotus of my heart, soothing my afflicted soul. O Rupa Manjari, the venom of the snake of separation from you has enfeebled my soul, and now my life is ever afflicted and distressed. Alas, please have mercy and give me the shade of your lotus feet. Narottama Das has taken refuge. So now the video, it's called The Universal Teacher. It's on Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's. It's a very, very long, it's like an hour or so movie, but I just picked out a section. It's the last section, number 7. And we could watch that now. Is there an extra mic you might have to put next to the TV so that people online can hear? I don't know if there's one, but anyway, Let's see if we don't go there properly to the proper section. There might be some ad here. We have to stop. So we have to turn up the TV also. Can you turn up the TV?
After the disappearance of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, his mission, the Gaudiya Math, suffered a severe setback when three of his important disciples deviated from the principles of pure devotional service. This created quite a disturbance, after which many of Saraswati Thakur's sincere disciples, such as Bhakti Vivek Bharati Maharaj, Bhakti Pragyan Keshav Maharaj, Bhakti Daitan Madhav Maharaj, Bhakti Raksha Sridhar Maharaj, Bhakti Pramod Puri Maharaj, Bhakti Saranga Goswami Maharaj, Bhakti Vichar Yajavara Maharaj, Bhakti Velas Teta Maharaj, Rande, and others rose to the occasion and strived with great endeavor to uphold the teachings of Saraswati Thakur in principle and through their perfect behavior and personal example. During that time, many missions following the codes of the Gaudiya Math were spread throughout India. Many Krishna conscious literatures were published and many new temples were opened. Krishna consciousness in India was flourishing, but the prediction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that the holy name of Krishna would be spread in every town and village around the world remained a great mystery. All that was about to change in 1959 when Abhay Charande accepted the renounced order of life and became A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. For several years, Bhaktivedanta Swami prepared himself for a journey that would literally affect the lives of every man, woman and child living on this planet. In 1965, Bhaktivedanta Swami set sail on the good ship Jaladuta, bound for the United States. He carried with him a trunk of newly published volumes of Srimad Bhagavatam with commentary in English. Disembarking from the Jaladuta at New York City, Lord Krishna began to make Bhaktivedanta Swami dance, the effect of which would ignite the Sankirtan movement on a global scale.
Hare Hare,
12 short years, Bhaktivedanta Swami, then known as Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, was responsible for millions of Krishna conscious literatures being distributed in dozens of languages around the world. Temples and places of worship were established, prasadam, the mercy of Lord Krishna, was distributed to millions, and thousands of Western men and women embraced the holy name of Krishna and the teachings of Lord Chaitanya.
Take advantage of this movement. Make your life perfect. Go back to home, back to Godhead.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama.
Due to Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Hare Krishna had become a household word in Western countries. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada commented many times that his success was only due to the blessings of his spiritual master, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. In the 1980s and 90s, the words of other prominent preachers of the Sankirtan movement, such as those of Bhakti Raksha Sridhar Maharaj and Bhakti Pramod Puri Maharaj, also became heard in the Western world. The involvement of these two great personalities in the Krishna consciousness movement further enhanced the achievements of Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Now, in the 21st century, the disciples and grand-disciples of these great spiritual masters continue the spreading of the Sankirtan movement on virtually every continent, in every country, and in every town and village of the world. Krishna consciousness is the eternal consciousness of the soul. It is not limited by race, color, or a particular society. Krishna consciousness is universal, and those who understand this are indeed fortunate. May the blessings of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur remain with them forever.
Ki Jai. Sorry. Okay. Thank you, Prabhus. I don't know if anybody wants to comment or say anything, but otherwise, anyone say anything? No? Oh, the offering? Let's see here. I'll look it up for you. Let's see if we could find it. Oops. Oh, the one with the poem? Oh, okay. Let's see, where is it? Where is it at? Must have been this one. That was in 1935. February. I guess it's the 25th. It's weird how, according to the moon, it's like the 25th. Now it's the 10th, right? Today. And it was the 3rd, actually. The actual day was the 3rd, I think. Yeah. It was his 62nd birthday. It's online. Just search Universal Teacher. Universal Teacher. Yeah, you can see the whole document. It's really nice. It starts from the beginning. There's 7 parts, not just the last part.
Wow, it's all like the YouTube.
Yeah, it's on YouTube.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for class.
Thank you. Hare Krishna.
So he only wrote once?
Who? He only wrote once? One song? I'm not sure. Anyway, did I mention? Oh, the song? That wasn't by him. That's, I don't know how many bhajans he wrote, but he would sing bhajans according to, this bhajan was sung by, let me see, what was it sung by? Yeah, it's from the part. I don't know. About Bhaktisiddhanta. I don't think there is. Just writings and teachings. I don't think there's any songs. But he liked a lot of the songs, like this Shirupa Manjari Pada. He loved that song. You know that song? Shirupa Manjari Pada? You probably heard it, yeah. It's Shirupa Manjari Pada, Se Mora Sampada. Separation, the song separation. Yeah. But on the Veda base, if you do search, there's a lot of writings and teachings of Bhaktisiddhanta. But it doesn't really show any songs. Let's see if it shows some songs by him. Might be possible.
So the song goes Sri Rupa Manjari.
Yeah. It's in the Veda base. Well, there's one by Agreya Vishnu. His contribution summarized. Let's see what he did here. Established Gaudiya Math, published magazines. He wrote 108 essays and books. Yeah.